She's the national women's football captain and has played 170 times for Banyana Banyana. But she's also a football club owner, a big Man United fan, and in 2020 was signed by Glasgow City. So first up, just how has Janine van Wyk adapted to the Scottish lifestyle and all that goes with it?
Well, to be very honest with you, I haven't experienced that side yet because COVID obviously restricted some of that social side of things. And for me to be able to see the Scottish lifestyle on the outside, I went in strictly and we were like under, you know, strict circumstances of being in a bubble. So we weren't really allowed to go out and experience the pub lifestyle.
So have you tried a haggis yet, and have you had a deep fried Mars bar?
I have not had any of that, and I had many people ask me if I've tried haggis, and a lot of people have said I shouldn't try haggis because it's not very good tasting. And I'm not one to experience food a lot, so if someone tells me that it's not a very good taste, then I'd rather not. But more on the fried sweet things, I would definitely try, but I haven't tried that.
Now, a couple of other things stand out about the city of Glasgow, Janine, and that is the intense rivalry between Celtic and Rangers. And have you been exposed to that, and have you got a sense of just how deep-rooted that is?
Yes, most definitely. I have a friend that lives in Scotland. He's a diehard Rangers fan. He even took me to the Rangers Stadium, so I got to experience that a little on the outside and been taking pictures and stuff. And I'm very happy that Bongani Zungu signed for Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah.
Because he and I obviously caught up in France when he played in France for the World Cup. And we caught up and had a dinner together. So I think when I return, I'll catch up with him again and watch a couple of games, obviously, when we're allowed to do that. So I kind of am leaning towards more the Rangers side. But I'm not saying anything because Rangers also have a ladies team. So, and that's also our kind of rival. So I just keep quiet because, I mean, they're very culturalistic about this whole Celtic Rangers thing. And you can't really mention which one you support because you can get in trouble for it, apparently. I don't know. And, you know, so I'm well aware of it. And it's quite interesting, but I'm definitely am leaning towards the Rangers side of things.
Now you mentioned Rangers and Bongani Zungu having signed for them, and they've obviously got quite a high profile or famous manager in the form of Steven Gerrard, the former Liverpool star. If I read between the lines, though, on social media, you're more a Man United fan, would you say?
I'm definitely a Man United fan. I'm quite a bit embarrassed to say it now, but because of the way we play. But I've always been a United fan since I was little. And yeah, I mean, you have to stick by your team no matter what. But I've always enjoyed watching Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard as players. You know, I always idolized them. They were good leaders on the field, off the field. And yeah, I'm still a very big fan of Steven Gerrard, despite the fact that he played for Liverpool. But you know, it's about the personality and the player that he was that I respect him so much. And I think he's done extremely well with Rangers as a team. And seeing, you know, the best in Bongani Zungu, our very own South Africans. So I'm just happy, and hopefully I'm pretty sure I will get to meet him one day.
Who is your earliest United hero then, Janine? And roughly when did you start supporting the side?
Roughly supported the side when I was very young with my cousins, my uncle. Basically, my whole family is United fans. And then I idolized David Beckham because he was such a good player, good free kick taker. And that is what I practice day in, day out, is my free kicks because of him. So, yeah, I think he was one of my favorite players. And then growing up, a little older, was more Roy Keane because he was this hard-fighting bloke on the field that, you know, would always leave everything on the pitch and fight for his teammates. So that is who I really enjoyed watching most of the time.
Now, as your career's gone on, I mean, you've won 170 caps for Banyana Banyana. You've played in Denmark, in the States, and we'll get to that. You're now playing in Scotland. You played in South Africa, obviously, where career started. As your career's gone on, I mean, you mentioned some of the male heroes of your career. Are there players in the female game that you look up to and aspire to?
When I was younger, I heard of the likes of Mia Hamm and Birgit Prinz from Germany, because we always got shown video in the national setup of these star players. We never really got to watch them, but we got to see video clips of the players. Marta being one of them, I really idolized her. She's very skillful, coming from a difficult background as well, and, you know, making a career out of, you know, where she grew up. Very small town, and then obviously getting to play against her was one of my career highlights as well. When I played in the States, and when we played obviously Brazil in Rio, so those are the kind of players that I looked up to as a youngster, because those are the players that we were shown to. But within South Africa, probably Portia Modise, when I just got into the national setup. She was this fantastic player. We all know what a kind of player she was, breaking records, scoring so many goals. So that was one player I also looked up to when I just came into the national setup. But otherwise, it was always male players that I idolized mostly.
What about currently now, Janine? Because there's no doubt that the American women's team have set the standard for the past few years, and I think in the wake of the last World Cup in France, the likes of Megan Rapinoe have certainly grabbed the headlines or the limelight and led the way in terms of voicing their support of their sport and their women's game in the States. Would you say that they've taken on the role as almost global cheerleaders for women's football from a global sense, not just in the United States?
Yes, most definitely. They started it all. They fought for equality, and they had all right to. I mean, they've been champions for I don't know how long, and they are seen as the best in the world. And once you become the best in the world for so many times, you start having a voice. And it's difficult from our side because people expect us to do the same, but yet we really haven't really achieved what the United States have achieved. And I think you see a couple of other countries starting to follow, like Denmark, like Norway, Brazil national team fighting for equality. And it all started with the US national team starting, you know, having a voice, taking a knee, and, you know, getting into all of that. And Megan Rapinoe is obviously the voice of women's football for us. That's what I see. So, like I say, once you start becoming successful and you're out in the spotlight constantly, you have a voice, and they feel that they need to use their voice in order to fight for women's football, which is absolutely right. So hopefully in the near future, South Africa can, you know, gain the same from that.
Like you said, she's been very vocal and has led the American voice from a female women's football point of view. She's also become a global gay icon in the women's sports sense. Janine, in that sense, do you look up to her as well as someone who is leading the way and is proud of everything about her background?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of athletes that came out and have raised their voice and about equality, gender equality, being gay, out and open. But for me, myself, even before then, I was open and I never really spoke out about it, only really when I needed to. I think it's just opened up so many doors for athletes to also come out and feel that they shouldn't hide who they are, because you have all these celebrities, all these famous athletes that have also now come out about who they are, what they want to be, what makes them happy. And I think for youngsters, it just sets a tone for them to, you know, not feel that they need to hide away or shy away from that. And I know there were a lot of young athletes still in South Africa that are afraid to come out because of who they are. But once they've realized that myself and Megan Rapinoe and many other female athletes, especially in the football aspect of athlete life, have come out, and it's perfectly normal. You know, we live in an era now where, you know, it's about, you know, you being happy as an individual. It's not no more in the old school way of, you know, strict rules of, you know, male and female being together. It's about you being happy as an individual.
Well, let's go back a bit, Janine, because like you mentioned, you came out quite a long time ago, and you're from, I would say, you know, Alberton traditionally might be seen as quite a conservative part of the broader Gauteng region. I don't know if that's fair to say, but it was obviously quite brave, you would say, for you to come out in your teens. Am I right? And how did that play out, and how did you deal with that as a youngster?
Well, back then it was very difficult and challenging, and lost a lot of friends. My family kind of, I wouldn't say disowned me, but for 3 months would push me away. So it wasn't as easy as it would be now. If people come out now, it's normal. It's out in the open. A lot of people are out about it, and it's almost accepted nowadays, you know, whereas back then it wasn't, and it was difficult. So, you know, I had to start with my family. I had to start with my parents, and they were most disappointed, but it took them 3 months to actually get used to it, because I wasn't going to change. I always said that I'll get put on earth, and I need to make myself happy, and I can't please other people. And that's what I've always said, and I've said to my parents as well, and I continue saying it, you know, when I go and speak at schools, that you need to be happy within and be yourself, and never, you know, love to please other people, because you are going to be the one that's going to be disappointed in yourself and hide away from who you truly are. So it was difficult right in the beginning, because it wasn't accepted back then, a couple of years ago. But I think it is much easier today to come out and speak out about, you know, what you want in life and who you want to be.
Do you think we've got a problem generally in South African culture, Janine, not just from a sports point of view, that is still, even though, like you said, it's easier now to perhaps come out and declare your sexuality, that we still a relatively conservative culture by nature?
Yeah, I do think so. I don't think only in South Africa. I still think across the world there you find those people that are very judgmental on these things. But, you know, I think it's just the newer generations that come up, my kind of age, that people, you know, have come out when they were a lot younger, so it's a lot more accepted with their kids, and the next generation's coming up, and it is, I don't know how to say it, but it's a lot more popular. It's not more common that you find same-sex relationships.
Yes,
So that's, I mean, it's just normal and accepted more so often, although you still find the very older generation that would never accept it, because that's not how they were brought up, and that's not what their beliefs were. So I think it's changed over the years.
Let's continue going back, Janine, and let's look at how you first got into football as a youngster. You mentioned that you're from a football mad family. Is that where it started, and did you play with siblings?
I wouldn't say siblings, because my sister is not a very athletic person at all. I only have one sister, but more so with my cousins. My uncles were all footballers. My grandfather was a footballer, and we were on the side of the football field every weekend, kicking the ball with my cousins. school holidays. I was in the garden playing football. So I joined, you know, a football club with my cousins at the age of 5, 6 years old, with the boys, and played with the boys up until 14. So yes, it was always in my blood. My dad always wanted a boy, so he had no problem with me playing soccer at all, because he had his first girl, and then he wanted a boy, and obviously that didn't work out. But I happened to be a tomboy, so I kind of, you know, relate. He kind of accepted that, and I think he was one of the guys that accepted when I first came out being, you know, gay. And yeah, I think it was always in our blood, playing football and being on the side of a football pitch, and that's where it all really started.
Now, you obviously, you started your career, you progressed to the ranks, you played for local clubs here in South Africa, but seven, eight years ago, you decided to set up your own club, JVW FC. And was that because you just didn't see enough of support for women's football in this country, and that you felt that you needed to take control of a platform or a club where you could you could ensure that development for young girls coming through?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason. I saw so much talent in our country that wasn't recognized. I went into schools to coach when I was still playing, went into schools, and there were hardly any schools that had women's soccer. But although the girls wanted to play, you know, the principal or the sports coordinator would always, you know, refuse to have a ladies' soccer team. And that is the reason why I started my own football program for girls, is because there wasn't enough opportunity for these girls to play. And going into the schools, you know, having meetings with principals and giving them reasons why they should be. And as the national captain, I thought it would be important to make a difference in, you know, in women's football in our country. And just giving these young girls an opportunity to play and express themselves, express the talents that they have, and, you know, give them hope that there would be something for them out there. So once we started in the schools league, going into the schools, there were more and more girls starting to play, more teams that were allowed to play in the school setup. That was in 2012. And then once I started recognizing all these girls that have so much talent and they could only play at school level and nowhere else, because you find your odd one or two girls playing with the boys, just like I did, but there weren't enough girls to make, you know, a girl's team for them to play in an environment where they could, you know, express themselves in a comfortable way. I know from my experience, it was always difficult playing with the boys. You know, boys would always try and get you down, try and tell you that you shouldn't be playing the sport. That was back in the day. And I just wanted to give these girls opportunity to play in a comfortable, free environment where their parents, you know, wouldn't be on their backs because they're playing with boys. They would get injured. They should rather play hockey or netball, take up that sport where they actually have interest in playing soccer. And that is when I created the JVW Girls Football Club, was in 2013, because I thought of these talented girls in the schools league that I identified, but there was no club for them to go to except going into the townships where, again, their parents wouldn't, you know, take them. So that is the reason why today I have a girls' schools league that is still currently running, with over 3,000 girls in Gauteng participating in this league. And then obviously my football club, that I have about 90 odd players playing five different teams that I have playing in the setup. So it's grown enormously. I mean, I started with 9 girls in the football club, and today I have over 90 girls playing in the football club, and only started with, I think, 15 girls' school teams in 2012, and today we have about close to 400 school teams participating in. So it's grown enormously, and I'm just proud of what I have established and just giving the platform for young girls to express themselves and seeing, you know, the girls flourish in the game, and girls coming out of the schools into my football club and now representing the national team at youth level, one of them being the captain of the national team under 17. It's just amazing that, you know, it's in such a short space of time over the years, it has grown so much. So if we had done this, or if someone had done this a couple of years ago, where would women's football be at, you know, today in South Africa? It can't just take one person to have something like this in one province, and it's massive. So if every other female footballer in their own province could do something like this, and Dylan, it wasn't about money, because we all know female footballers don't earn a lot of money. So yeah. It's not that I had an extreme amount of money to put this in place, this program. It's just all about passion, love, and dedication to the game that has allowed it for me to grow. And it was the little bit of money that I had saved from us receiving money from the national team that I could, you know, take out of my pocket to actually buy a Sasol franchise team to start up my own football club. And that is how it all started.
And Janine, is this something, I mean, you're 33 now, is this something you see yourself devoting yourself full time to post-playing, and how much longer do you think you can keep playing at the highest level?
Yes, most definitely. I've established something that is my own. I definitely want to get into coaching, youth coaching, definitely. I have done my CAFB license, looking to do UEFA badges as well while I'm in Scotland, which is the plan, because I feel that I have so much knowledge and experience to share with youngsters. I've been through what they are currently going through, you know, experiencing with the difficulties with the national team, traveling into Africa as a female footballer, dealing and balancing your education and your sport at the same time, which is very difficult to do. So I feel I have a vast amount of experience to share with youngsters as on and off the field as well, life experiences, what they're going currently through with their parents, coming out as a gay person. And I feel I have so much to share with these young girls, and so much that I have in common with them that I could help them with in their careers, in their football careers. So I definitely feel that once I'm done playing, that is the direction that I'll take as a coach. Obviously, I want to be a head coach of the national team one day. That is my ultimate goal one day. But now, you know, helping the youth develop is something that I'm, you know, currently doing, and while I'm still playing. But I feel in terms of my own personal career, I have achieved a lot, and what I wanted to achieve is going to a World Cup, leading my country to a World Cup. And hopefully, I mean, with all these setbacks coming in, having a knee injury after knee injury, there's always days where you feel like, no, I'm done. And when you see the youngsters coming up and you just want to be with the youngsters and help them. And then there you have some good days where you get a signing of Glasgow City coming up. They play in the UEFA Champions League. So now I'm thinking, okay, there's still more that I'm able to get. There's still more that I want to achieve in my career. So you get some good days, you get some bad days. There's many a times where I said, tomorrow I'm going to tell people, I've had enough, I'm hanging my boots. But then tomorrow will come and something else will pop up and I'm like, okay, I'm not ready. So I don't think I'll ever feel ready to just retire, but I think my body will know when, you know, to call it quits, and I feel that I'm still able to give another couple of years and see what I can achieve in those couple of years. So hopefully next World Cup we can qualify for that, and probably that would be my last. But and there's one thing that I would love to achieve is being crowned African champions. We haven't done that. We've always earned a silver medal or a bronze medal, never that gold medal. So I think that is something that I would like to achieve while I still play, and I think that is still possible in a couple of years that I still have left of my football career.
Well, few would bet against Janine van Wyk driving Banyana Banyana to that elusive first African crown, or going on to coach the national team with distinction once she's retired. But first up, she needs to get her head around haggis and sink her teeth into a deep-fried Mars bar. Glasgow, here we come.